Okay, so I am super excited. I'm Dr. Peter Malinowski. I'm a clinical psychologist. I'm one of the co-founders of Souls and Hearts, and I head up the Resilient Catholics community. And what we're doing tonight is we're talking about the Resilient Catholics community, the RCC. What is it? What's the function of it? How does it operate? And then we're going to address any question that you have about the RCC, any question that you would like to know about. So then we'll do some questions and answers. And then my thought was to do an experiential exercise, do a little exercise, just like the kinds of things that we do in our company meetings, just like the things that we do within the RCC. So you can have a little taste of what that's like as well. And then we can process what that was like at the end. So any questions about any of that, kind of the format of this? Yeah. Okay, great. So let's start with big picture. What is the RCC all about? Why does it even exist? And I will sum that up. It is basically to help us in our human formation to shore up the natural foundation for the spiritual life. It's about removing our human formation obstacles to tolerating being loved and to love in return. Anything that inhibits us or hampers us or gets in the way of us being able to relate well on the natural level, we're going to bring that into our relationship, not only with other people here on the face of the earth, but we're going to bring that into our relationship with God. We're going to bring that into our relationship with the Blessed Mother. And so, since grace perfects nature, it has to have nature, something natural to work on. Right? Grace perfects nature, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, it does not destroy it. What's happened in our church, I think, is that there has been so much emphasis on spiritual formation. And in our day and age, when there's been so much disruption in the natural formation of human people, of human beings, that we need to actually spend some time really looking at that. We need to look at these foundations, right? I think of myself as an arithmetic guy. And let me explain what I mean by that. I think of like the different spiritualities in the church as like branches of advanced mathematics, right? You have, theoretical statistics, you have trigonometry, you have calculus, you have differential equations, you have all these different branches of mathematics, but they all depend on arithmetic, right? So the Franciscans are like, matrix algebra, the Carmelites are like calculus, the Benedictines are like trigonometry, but they all depend, all of those branches depend on arithmetic. And where so many people get stymied, where they get hung up, is in some kind of natural level issue. If you have a lot of father issues, father wounds that are unresolved, if you have a lot of difficulties around that, you're going to bring that into your relationship with God the Father. It's going to be inevitable because it's part of how you were formed. And so the RCC exists so that we can remove those psychological impediments to having a deep and intimate relationship, a real personal relationship, a close relationship with the three persons of the Trinity and with our mother, right? Especially our God the Father and and Mary our mother, our spiritual parents. That's the whole point of it. We're going to learn a lot of things along the way. I think internal family systems is a super helpful model for that, as long as we do some modification work to kind of help that, to help it be much more consistent with a Catholic anthropology, a Catholic understanding of the human person. And we consider this a pilgrimage. We think about this as a pilgrimage, a journey together. There are a number of people that have tried to do IFS types of human formation stuff on their own. Others have done it with a therapist. Not all human formation needs to be done, though, in therapy. And what I've done is I've brought the best of the kinds of things that I have seen and used and worked with in all kinds of settings, both clinical settings and non-clinical settings, and I'm bringing them together for you. Bringing them together, and we're going to travel together. Right. So as part of that, in the RCC, each member has a traveling companion. So this is, a person that they check in with regularly. That's every day. And that's a brief check-in usually. Once a week, it's a little longer. And then you also have what we call a company. And the company is anywhere between 7 and 9 people. And all of those people come together on a weekly basis to do some work together. I provide all the programming. There's a premium podcast that you'll be listening to in your company meetings, which are 75 minutes every week. And that's about 43 or 44 times a year. It depends on the schedule. But we have a whole course that we run through of all the most important things in human formation that Catholics face. And then there are all kinds of extra resources that we have, all kinds of archived resources, a lot of extra experiential exercises that folks have access to. Within the Resilient Catholics community, you have access to office hours. With me, you have access to the second Wednesday Zoom meetings, which are topical, where we discuss all kinds of things as a whole community. And there are all kinds of other things as well that come with that. So the image, though, that I want to leave you with is that, we're on this pilgrimage together, but because we want to have a real personal connection, we have those companions, and then we have that small group connection within our companies. We do have a text that we use, which is Bonnie Weiss's book, The Self-Therapy Workbook. And there's a lot of useful exercises in there that we incorporate into our work. But I basically, and then the other thing that leads off, and I forgot to mention this, is that we start off with the initial measures kit. And that's a series of 14 measures that you take. Some of them are pencil and paper, and you scan them and get them back to us. Some of them are online. But that helps us to put together your individualized result sheet, where we lay out usually between it's usually between 9 and 12 or 14 parts that we're hypothesizing. We have some measures that really help us to kind of identify what's going on inside. And we write up a report that's usually 5 single space pages long about like how we're kind of seeing your system, right? It's very hypothetical, right? We're not saying this is who you are, but it's a way for us to be able to do a number of things. First of all, that's part of the application process because it helps us to assess kind of where you're at and give you some real information about how we're seeing your system. It helps us also to do some screening to find out what kind of support a person might need in the community. Or there may be some folks that are too distressed or too much they're experiencing too much distress or too much flooding right now, so we might defer until we can get some support on board. But that initial and that those initial measures that report also helps us to match you with your companion because we actually do look at those when we match for companions. So we have that as part of the application process as well. So I've been sort of talking for like 10 minutes here. I want to open it up for questions. Like what is on your minds? What maybe I haven't I covered? What would you like to hear more about? And if it's something that you don't want to ask out loud, you can also put it to me in the chat box. I can find the chat box, I'm sure. And yeah, I know how to do it. So if there's anything that you're like, yeah, Eklas, did you have something?
Yes. So I'm sorry I got distracted for a second when you were beginning to talk about what it all consists of. I got the second thing was the 75-minute group meeting every week. What I missed what was prior to that.
Sure.
What the RCC consists of.
Sure. So let's go through that again a little slower. So the RCC, there's a number of there's basically three major parts to it. there is your weekly company meeting, which is 75 minutes long. And in that, I will provide you about 30 to 35 minutes of recorded programming. Okay, so that's going to come in, and that included in that will be a little talk, a didactic talk, where I'm explaining some IFS concepts for what we're working on that week. And then there'll be a longer experiential exercise. So this is where I'm going to give you a guided reflection or a guided meditation to help you go inside and get in touch with your parts. And then there'll be some discussion around that as the members within the company share their experiences. And then we talk about, you know, what the assignments are for the next week and different ways and different resources that are available that week. And so that 75 minute weekly, and there's about 43 to 44 of those a year, depending on the year. And then, that is a main thing right there. The other thing that we have is a daily check-in with your companion. So each person is assigned a companion. There's a few trios as well. So there's mostly pairs, but there's a few triplets. And in that, what you're doing is you're checking in on a daily basis. And it's mostly about how are you doing in working your personalized human formation plan. As part of your IMK, you get a personalized human formation plan. This is how we're inviting you personally to have some structure for working with your parts and kind of doing that internal work around your human formation. That doesn't mean that you have to reveal everything to your companion. We don't force any disclosure at all about what actually is going on inside, but you will be checking in with questions like, did you do your morning check-in with your parts? You know, did you do the journaling? You know, that is part of your program, right? So if you take on some extra things, you know, as your plan develops, are you being consistent with that? What's difficult about that, right? You know, so it's not necessarily getting into all of your stuff, because we might have protectors that are really anxious or worried about how much disclosure is going to be required. We never force disclosure. So 5 days a week, that check-in with your companion is going to be pretty brief. It could be like 3 or 4 lines on our private messaging app, because we have a social networking app that this all happens in. So it could be a private message, 3 or 4 lines, could be a text, it could be an email. Once a week, we ask for a 10 to 20 minute either phone call or Zoom meeting or video conference with your companion to just kind of go into things in a little bit more detail and to help build that relationship. The third thing is that the work that you do individually with your parts. So those are the check-ins that we start out with in the morning and the evening. Those are 3 to 5 minutes initially. They'll get a little longer as time goes on, and as you become more familiar and working with your parts. We provide a lot of meditations. Like in this week, I actually put together 4 little meditations for the companies. So you can use one of those if it's helpful, pre-recorded. You know, you don't actually, because you know, some people are just totally they really need some help to just access their own systems, especially at the beginning. So those are the 3 elements: your own work, your connection with your companion, and your connection with your company. So, so there's a question here. Let me look at this. Is the companion someone that works for you that has been trained in this? No, we do have staff, and that is Elizabeth Hoffmeister, Pansorn Benyasut, Patty Ellenberger and me. We're the staff. The companion is another RCC member. So it's another person just like you that's going through the program. Yeah. Yeah. One of the beautiful things about the RCC, or one of the beautiful things about internal family systems, is that it really empowers the person, you know, especially the self of the person, to lead their system. It doesn't require a therapist, for example, or some other authority figure to really direct and guide, as much as it is about empowering the person. So Susan, you had something.
Yeah, I wanted to ask. So I've done a lot of research on my own about IFS, and I'm familiar with a lot of that language. So it sounds like the plan that we'll receive is around certain parts of us that maybe need more self-leadership or guidance or help or whatever. And then we're going to be asked in our plan to work with those parts more directly. Is that correct?
Yeah. This is all about facilitating your capacity to work with your parts. And so initially, and this is very IFS, initially, we're inviting you to work with your managers. You know, all IFS work typically starts with the parts of you that handle your day-to-day interactions. They're the ones that help you with the regular responsibilities that you have during the day. And so we always start with working with those managers because, you know, they're the ones that that we want to make sure we're cooperating with, we're collaborating with, we have a good relationship with before we would work with any exiled parts or any firefighter parts, those other parts that that the managers are often really worried about, you know, because there's a potential for flooding emotionally, or there's a potential for, you know, all kinds of destabilization within the system. So we'll start with those manager parts. And as time goes on, we actually will begin to work with exiles and firefighters as well, you know, but we want folks to have some really good, solid grounding in that. So we will be borrowing a lot of things from Jay Early's self-therapy. He is the one that's done the most work on, on how you work IFS, how you work with IFS on your own. He's got 3 volumes of his book, Self Therapy. And Bonnie Weiss is the one that wrote the workbook, which I think is actually excellent. And so we're not reinventing the wheel, but we're using a lot of this self-therapy stuff, but we're doing it in community. So it's actually got, I think, a lot of it that has a lot of advantages. So a couple of questions have come in on the chat. One is, I'm currently doing parts work in EMDR with a trauma therapist. Will that conflict with this process? Absolutely not. At least it shouldn't, okay? Many of the RCC members are in therapy, and many of the rest of them have been in therapy before and have done a lot of therapeutic work. In fact, the RCC, you can think of it as an adjunct or a supplement to your therapy work. And so what I would say about that is, you know, you can check with your therapist. We do not want to, you know, get crosswise with anybody's therapy work, though. The beautiful thing about having the RCC is that if your therapist isn't Catholic, you might be seeing, for example, an IFS therapist who's not Catholic, and you really want that Catholic dimension. That can really be, that's what some people are looking for. If your therapist is Catholic, but not IFS, not really looking at it through an IFS lens or not doing really parts work, you can get that aspect of it through the RCC. And then if you are so blessed as to have a Catholic IFS therapist, well, you know, that is a sure sign of God's love, I think, for you. But then still, right, what the community does is it brings you into relationship with other like-minded people that you know, resonate with this, that are really interested in moving forward together, right? And there's so much power in those shared experiences. There's so much power in being able to have the fellowship, the fraternity, the connection of being on this pilgrimage, on this journey to human formation together. So another question, if we don't know all of our parts, does the program help us identify them? Yes, absolutely. When we start out, we assume that you don't know any of your parts, right? That's where we start. Because when people start with this kind of thing, some of them don't. Now, some people have come in and they've, you know, done a fair amount of work with their parts. And so, okay, you know, and that's a great thing. We'll like that. But But we don't make any assumptions about what you know. We will give you everything that that we think is the best stuff. There's also a lot of optional stuff. Like I've got access to all kinds of resources. I'm level 3 trained. I've also done the marital training in IFS, and I go to all kinds of conferences, and you know, I gather all kinds of things, and I tweak them, you know, like you've seen me do in some ways on the certain podcast episodes, right? I do a lot of original work, and it's all pulling together the best of that stuff, but also bringing it into a really solid Catholic foundation. That's really what I want for folks. So absolutely, if you don't know any of your parts, this will help ease that, because that's the thing that people have some difficulty with when they just want to do this on their own, is that it's kind of easy to get stuck. But sometimes, you know, your companion might ask you a question, or you might see another person doing some really interesting work in an office hours, or you might see something like that in a demo that's up on our site where I'm working with somebody. And it's like, wow, that actually resonated with me. I understand this now. So what people sometimes underestimate is how valuable it is to be with and to see other people doing their work, you know? And there's also this real sense of togetherness and a sense of, you know, of a shared mission and purpose. So yeah, other things, other questions.
I do have a couple more questions.
Well, bring them on, Susan. I want to hear them.
I'm just curious. I'm curious what the spiritual life, what part that plays. Like, is there a prayer time, or is it mostly that this Catholic anthropology kind of undergirds what we're doing?
So here's my attitude towards that. We don't generally have, we will open and close different meetings with a prayer. Like your company meetings will open and close with a prayer. One of the things though that I found in working with evangelical IFS therapists, evangelical Christians, because I was asked to do some teaching and training and some group supervision or group consultation, is that they had a way of sometimes bringing in too much spiritual stuff too fast. One thing to remember is that every part has a way of understanding God. Every part has a God image. And if that part is not in a right relationship with the self, that God image is always going to be distorted. It's always going to be heretical. And some parts are terrified of God, and some parts and some people hate God because of how they understand God, right? Because of, they might be carrying abandonment burdens or have suffered from abuse or neglect, and where was God, right? So these parts can react really negatively to sort of a one size fits all. Now we're going to pray and invite Jesus in. You know, because it's like, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. That's what the part says. So one of the things that I'm really careful about is not rushing the spiritual stuff with parts. We really want to have a solid natural foundation. And I really want parts to have a good relationship with the self, so that the self can be the mediator between the part and God. That's I think, very ordered, because God doesn't want to invade typically and work directly with the parts, bypassing the self, which is the one within us that has the most access to the faculties of the intellect and the will and can make decisions about what we're going to allow and what we're not. So I spend a lot of time with parts on what Sherry Waddell would call pre-evangelization. Some of you might be familiar with, you know, with her 5 thresholds of evangelization. And the first is trust. You know, she says that for people that are unchurched, who are not, you know, are not Christian, not Catholic, the first step is for there to be a relationship of trust built with someone or something that's Catholic. And so, and that makes a lot of sense, right? Like, there's got to be some kind of draw. And within the person, I want that relationship to be between the part and the self, the core self of each one of you, so that that part can trust that you can help that part come into contact with the living God. Parts understand God based on their experiences and how they construed those experiences. And what happens, I see all the time, is that Catholics who are, you know, really serious about the faith have one or two parts that are like uber Catholic parts that are driving the whole thing. But there are a whole lot of other parts that have a whole lot of other attitudes about God that often are suppressed or they're silenced, and their concerns are not considered because those protector Catholic parts are so worried that if they spoke out, it would be heretical, it would be blasphemous, it would attract God's anger or disappointment or, you know, abandonment or whatever. So the whole system is kind of insecure. That's how I believe we are, because I don't believe in this concept of a single unitary personality. I think, you know, when St. Paul asks the question, why is it that I do that which I don't want to do? You know, the evil that I desire, I do not do. And then, or the good I desire, I do not do. And the evil I abhor, I do that. Why? Right? Because I would argue there's parts happening here. There's blending happening here. And what we want is this integration, you know, and I want to see that integration on the natural level first, because it provides a much more solid foundation for those parts to come into contact with God and to have any spiritual wounds be healed, right? So there's an order to this. I work in the natural level first. I work on the arithmetic first before we start bringing in the higher level mathematics. So does that make sense, Susan? Is that okay?
That's great.
Yeah.
The other question I have is, so I have a part when I heard that I was going to be receiving this plan that I have to say yes to. I have a part that's like, well, do I get any input about that?
It's recommendations. You know, one of the things we would say is take what's helpful, you know, and if you've, sometimes I will put in like little meditations or little reflections at the end of the main podcast, and you'll see that I'll say if it's helpful to you, right? So I trust that y'all are going to come up with your own plans. What we give is a set of suggestions that we think might be helpful to you at the beginning. And, you know, and it's up to you to modify that, you know. It's not for us to dictate sort of one size fits all, you know, here's your suit off the rack. You know, that's not our style at all here in the RCC. Because each person is going to have ways that they're going to connect with their parts, and we want to foster that individuality. It's going to be different for each person in each part. So, yeah. We do have the opportunity for you to meet one-on-one with our staff. So we have Pansorn Benyasut, who is level one trained in IFS, and that's like some coaching opportunities. And then also Elizabeth Hoffmeister, who is actually a therapist in my practice, who's received some training in IFS, but is not level one trained yet. And there's an upcharge with that. I mean, obviously, because then we've got, you know, individual attention, but those folks are available to help you with your human formation plans, to answer questions and so forth. So there's the opportunity for individual attention. The other thing is that y'all are welcome to call me in my conversation hours. You know, I have conversation hours from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. on every Tuesday and Thursday. So that's 8 hours a month that, you know, I'm available for brief kind of check-ins or questions and so forth. So.
I had one more question.
Yes, E-Class.
Is there a payment plan that we can sign up for the RCC?
So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about cost, because we haven't mentioned that. There's a $99 registration fee. That's the application fee. That includes the initial measures kit. And so all of those measures, and then the report that comes from that, and then a 15-minute interview with me, where I'll go through the results of those reports. Or if Pan Soren does yours, you would have the interview with her. She would, you know, because that would make sense. So either with me or with Pan Soren. The regular rate for the RCC is $99 a month. But we never turn anybody away because of financial need. If you are, you know, in a financial situation where you can't pay that, let Patty know. Patty Ellenberger is here tonight. She is our office manager. I should introduce you. Patty handles all of the billing and scheduling and all the administrative stuff, web stuff, lots of questions about any of the sort of back end of this. So, and she also will walk you through and get you a scholarship or a write-off if you need it. So, yeah, we do ask people to make some sacrifice. We want you to have some skin in the game. But Dr. Jerry and I have been adamant since we founded Souls and Hearts that we would never turn anybody away because of financial need. So we have some folks that, you know, might, you know, pay $10 a month even, or something like that, or it could be even less if you're really in difficult straits. So
thank you. Last question.
Yeah.
There's this part of me that is dying to know that once the initial measures kit is done, mm-hmm. you had said that there's the report that's generated that comes mm-hmm. up with like 9 or 12 of our parts. Mm-hmm. So in past experience, how accurate is that report, would you say? There's a part of me that's dying to know that.
We've done about 70 of these, and the typical response is something along the lines of this: I have no idea how me filling out those papers and filling out those questionnaires, you figured this out. Like, how did you, you know, the people are really surprised at how we're able to make some inferences from these pencil and paper measures. And so there are a couple of measures in there by a psychologist by the name of Jeffrey Young, who was the originator of schema therapy, which also involves some parts. And so they're helpful with some parts detection. But also, I remember I've been doing this for a long time, and so I can make some inferences about like what I'm seeing on these measures. And the other thing to remember is that they're hypothesized, right? We're not telling you this is who you are. What we're doing is we're seeing certain functions, certain roles within you, and we're suggesting that they might, you know, that they might be carried out by certain types of parts. And so it's really more about sort of modeling a way to think about multiplicity inside and how different parts are might be interacting, because we have a section in that report that's about half a page long that is about how your parts interact. You know, some ideas, hypothesizing about how parts interact, because sometimes parts will polarize, so they'll be in conflict with each other. Sometimes parts align, right? And they operate together jointly, right? If some of you listen to the podcast on perfectionism, for example, I talked about how often a Catholic standard bearer part, who holds like the sort of moral compass and is very influential in the conscience, interacts with the inner critic, you know, and the inner critic and is aligned with that standard bearer. And then both of them in some ways are aligned with the primary manager, who's trying to execute what the standard bearer is telling it to do. And then the critic is riding that part, you know, to try to get it to do it better or faster, you know, or more or whatever. So there's ways in which these parts interact and in alignments and polarizations and in other more complex ways. And we try to draw some of that out within the within that section of the report. So we'll talk about which managers are suppressing which exiles and how. How do firefighters get involved when exiles break through? Things like that. So, yeah. So, would you guys like to do a little experiential exercise tonight? You up for that? Does that sound interesting? Okay. So, like everything we do in with these exercises within the RCC, it's optional. Okay. You don't have to participate in the exercise if you don't want to. There's no pressure at all. If you're, you have protectors that are like, hey, I'm real concerned about this, I would say, listen to those protectors. They have reasons for why they do what they do, why they're saying what they're saying. Also, you know, I'm going to invite you, if you'd like, to turn your cameras off. There's no reason that you have to be watched, you know, when you're doing an experiential exercise. So when we do experiential exercises within the RCC, like during our company meetings, you always have the option to turn your cameras off. Because again, that might be private. You might be working through something really with a part of you, and you might not want to be observed while you do it, you know? And so that's perfectly fine as well. Going back to that question Susan had, you know, we're going to also invite you to take what's helpful to you from any of these meditations or any of these reflections. If you find that you're going in a direction that is really good and helpful to you, it's really life-giving in some way, but it doesn't happen to match up with the invitations or suggestions that I'm offering, go with what's working for you, right? This isn't about, you know, some sort of conformity with what I'm recommending. Whenever we do these exercises, I'm going to invite you to really pay attention to your window of tolerance, right? So if you notice that you are getting, and this happens extremely rarely, so I don't want to overstate this at all, but if you do notice that you're moving up into hyperarousal, which is the fight or flight response, getting really kind of worked up, you know, and there's a lot of intensity and revving and so forth, I'm going to invite you to step back, you know, reground yourself, you know, notice that, hey, something is going on here that's activating. And also, if you notice that you're going into hypoarousal, which is down out of your window of tolerance, that's into the freeze response. Similarly, I'm just going to invite you to reground yourself, feel your feet on the floor, step, open your eyes and so forth. Help to just allow yourself to come back into the present moment. Sometimes there could be turns of phrase or something that activates. And again, that happens extremely rarely, less than one in like 1500 or 2000 times does something like that happen for somebody, but the potential is there. So I want folks to know that that they can move themselves out of that position if they'd like. So with all that said, we're going to do a little exercise today to just help you to notice what parts might be up and in front for you right now. So this is a very basic basically an invitation to parts to be in relationship with you as the self. So it's a very much an invitation type of exercise. And so I'm going to invite you to imagine a place that's really comfortable for you, really a place of peace for you. It could be a place that you've been to, or it could be a place that you'd like to go to, or it could be a place that, you know, that you imagine, right? A place that just feels like it's good and that it's life-giving to you, that it's a wholesome place for you to be. Just invite you to imagine yourself being there. And then I'm going to invite you to notice what's happening in your body as you're in this place that's pleasant, that's wholesome. What's going on in your body? Any body sensations that seem to be prominent or calling attention? I invite you to just scan from the top of your head all the way down through the bottoms of your feet. So just noticing anything that's going on body-wise for you. A lot of times parts communicate to us through the body. They signal various things through the body. And so we're just focusing in on that sensation with the idea that maybe, even maybe that this is a common experience, you know, a common body sensation, but maybe we haven't picked up on what it might mean. And can we be curious about that body sensation? Can we be open to the possibility that a part is sharing something with us through that? Now, if you're not experiencing something in the body, that's okay. I'm going to invite you to notice whatever is up inside. It could be an image or a memory, or, you know, a music, a song going on inside. My parts are very musical, and they play songs on my internal jukebox, and that's how I often know how they're doing. So it could be a song, it could be a feeling, an emotion. Or a belief, a thought. Whatever is up for you inside, be it a body sensation or any other experience. And I'm going to invite you to just notice if there's any objection in getting to know a part that is associated with that body sensation or that inner experience. Is there any concern about that? Because in the RCC, we never steamroll parts. If there's objections, if there's concerns, we assume that there are reasons for those. And we don't want to steamroll any parts. We don't want to try to sidestep our protectors. We get curious. What would happen if we were to connect with the part that's causing that experience or that's contributing to that experience in our body or inside of us? If there's any sort of concern about that, what's the concern? And as you hear about any concerns or objections, and maybe there aren't any, but if you are hearing about them, see if those protector parts would be willing to soften and relax back a little bit and give you a little more room for you to be able to connect with all the parts that are here right now, including that target part, the one connected to that inner experience. See if that would be okay. For you to have a little more space. Sometimes parts don't know that you as the self have all of these natural capacities, these God-given abilities to lead and guide your system. Sometimes they don't know that. maybe that's interesting. Maybe they'd be willing to give you a little more space. And your heart could become a little bigger. There can be greater openness and acceptance of your parts as they are right now. And that doesn't mean that we endorse every impulse a part has or every desire a part has. That's separate. That's a different question. But that we accept the reality of where our parts are right now without judgment, without condemnation. And at this point, we want to be free of any desire or agenda that other parts may have to change these parts right now. We're not at that point. We're really seeking to understand. We're really seeking to connect. And as parts hear this, I'm just going to invite you to notice how they respond. And I'm going to ask you to notice what's going on in your internal experience, what's happening to those body sensations. As parts hear an invitation to unblend, to give you space, to be separate but near, so that they can be in relationship with you. We can't have a relationship with a part that's blended or fused with us. It's too close. But if that part can give us some space, then the relationship becomes possible. Is that interesting to your parts? That might be a new idea. And if it is, well, That's normal. That's natural for so many parts. Some parts have worked really, really hard for a long, long time to try to keep you safe. A lot of gratitude to your parts for all they've tried to do to keep you safe. A lot of gratitude to your parts for their good intentions. And if you've connected with a part or parts, we have a little space here to just create a time and a way for them to share with you what their experience is, for them to share with you in whatever way is good for them and you, whatever they want you to know. Some of these parts may be pretty young. And is there anything they need from you? what would be helpful to them? You know, this doesn't have to be the end or the last time that you connect with these parts. It can be a beginning if these are parts that you haven't worked with or haven't gotten to know before. For those of you that, you know, have been on a journey with your parts, you know, there's a way to continue this, obviously. In a moment, we're going to be coming back to our main group here. But one thing is to check in with your parts to see if there's anything that they would like you to speak for them in our group. And then what might parts want to be kept private, just for you to know? We always do that in the RCC. We always talk about the importance of privacy. The really important thing here is that you be able to be with your parts, and that you be able to love your parts, and that your parts be able to be with you. It's not about sharing in the group, that's secondary. But sometimes parts want to be spoken for in a bigger group. They want to be able to be heard in a bigger group. They want that kind of witnessing. And so I'm going to invite you to check that out. And if all of your parts are at least okay with that, there's at least grudging acceptance from your protectors, then, you know, then that's fine to share in the group. You know, I'm really open to hearing what your experiences might have been. So with that, I'm going to invite you to stay connected. We're going to start practicing that straddle a little bit between staying connected with your own parts while beginning to interact with other people, right? That's a huge thing that we work on in the RCC, is how do we stay in touch with our own parts and yet be in relationship with other people, right? So we have a little opportunity as we transition back to our meeting here to maintain that dual attention, connecting with our own parts and connecting in the broader group as well. And so when you're ready, I'll invite you to turn your cameras back on, and we'll have an opportunity to kind of discuss anything that your parts are open to discussing with the group. Again, no, there's no forced sharing about any of that. We're really respectful of protectors and any concerns they have about privacy and confidentiality within. So, and questions are welcome on the chat. If you'd like to direct them just to me, I've got my chat box open.
So I'd like to ask a question. So when I go through an experience like that and I don't feel anything, right? You know, I vacillate between two different answers, right? Which is, well, there's really nothing there. Right? Or, you know, you need to try harder, right, in order to get in touch with them, right? And so and I'll be honest, it's a little bit of a fear about going into this, you know, weekly or even daily, right, you know, connection to do this, when I'm very open to it and I want to learn about parts, but I just have to be honest, I'm not feeling it.
You're not feeling it, you know? And so that actually is the inner experience. So I get curious about why there seems to be nothing there. And I begin to wonder, that may be a part. That actually may be a part that has concerns about accessing some kind of internal experience. And can I be with that? Can I be with that? That particular experience, the experience of no experience, you know? And so that's actually where I would start. You know, what would happen? What would be the concern if there was an experience? You know, I would start asking questions and being curious along those kind of lines. Because the protectors are often willing to tell you what they're afraid of, because they would like the self to be on board with helping for, you know, whatever feared consequence to not happen, right? So that is actually pretty common, and the concern is actually a pretty common one. Like, and it can get our performance-based parts really kind of worked up. Like, I'm going to come in here and then I'm not going to have any, you know, I'm not going to have any, you know, any experiences that, you know, are going to allow me to kind of work the program and so forth. So that's kind of where I would start. And we do address that early in the programming as well. There is a real need for patience with our parts too. There's a little children's book called Play With Me. And it was published in, I think, the 20s, actually, the 1920s, almost 100 years ago, or about 100 years ago. It's the story of a little girl, and this little girl is probably 3 or 4, and she's chasing around all these animals because, you know, in the meadow, because she wants to play with them, right? And she can't catch any of them. And in the end, she's really distraught, and she sits down by the riverside or the side of the creek, and she's just got her heads in her hands. And then the animals all start to approach her, right? Because she's now quiet, and she's in a place where, you know, there's not as much of an agenda to try to get these animals to do what she wants them to do. And I think about that. I think some parts are really hesitant to engage, and they need some patience. So thanks for bringing that up. I love hard questions. I love hardball. You know, I'm going to encourage you guys to give me the hard questions, because I should be able to answer them, right? So if parts are skeptical, you know, if there's, you know, skepticism or, you know, parts that want to challenge, I welcome that. Was that helpful, Devin?
Yep.
And that also, if that continues, that might be a possibility to work with one of our coaches on too. You know, get some individual attention on that, you know. So,
I just want to go back to something that you explained before, and about the meetings with the companies. Mm-hmm. It sounded like there would be some teaching and then discussion about that. Mm-hmm. And then an experience kind of like this, is that mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then potential sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And then a closing prayer. Well, then there'll be like the directions we'll review, kind of like the homework, because usually there's some reading in that in the book. So we discuss that. There'll be some discussion of the like supplemental resources. So there's, I like to give a lot of resources that I don't require people to use, but if they think it might be helpful, you know, like there's a pretty neat 69-minute introductory video about IFS, which just really does a good job of going over the basics. Dick Schwartz does a good job of going over the basics. And for some people, that could be really helpful because they like videos, right? And that's how they take information in. But other people are like, that's not going to help me, you know? So we have that at the end too. Yeah. And then we close with a prayer and yeah. So is that helpful? Yeah. Okay.
So I'll share real quick what my experience of that was. And I, Before I start that, I feel like I'm one of these people that is having a hard time connecting with my parts. So that's what it was like in the beginning when you started the experiential meditation. I was like, oh no, it was a pretty good day. I'm in a pretty good place. I wasn't really feeling anything. And as I just settled in more and more with my body and tried to relax, I noticed that my jaw was clenched. And as you went on with the meditation and I connected with that part, and I had written down earlier that parts often communicate to us through the body, I was just trying to connect with that. And the more I did, and then I noticed that I started crying. And then a few moments after that, I noticed that my jaw was starting to relax. And I was asking this part to talk to me, to let me know what it needs. And then I was reminded of how, like, when I'm trying to evangelize, that I often use my own life experiences as a way to help evangelize people. And I almost felt like this part that was trying to connect with me may have been telling me that sometimes it's not the time or place to share like that. And so I was really trying to connect with that part at the end when you said, like, what does it need? I mean, does it want me to stop doing that? I don't know, but yeah, I will say, you know, and since I've started the FEG also, this is like really the first time in weeks since I started this process that I was really able to connect with a part. So.
What we do, and I think what you experienced, Eklas, is that we work to create a frame or to set up conditions where it's easier for parts to connect with the self. That's really what it's about. We can't make it happen. I wouldn't want to try to make anything like that happen, but we try to create conditions where it feels, where parts have a sense of felt safety and protection, right? So that it can be okay to try something new, you know? And we spend a lot of time on safety and a lot of time on protection because, you know, the reason parts do what they do so often is because it doesn't feel safe, you know, and they're really trying to bring a sense of safety and protection. They're trying to create a sense of security because it wasn't necessarily safe, you know, at some point in the past when they took on that role as protector in your system. So parts can be caught back in time. And there's a way that we can kind of begin to understand that more deeply. So yeah, it's not uncommon for emotion to come up, like you were talking about, and for the body to relax as some of that emotion comes up. But we want to do that in a way that's titrated. We're not into emotional flooding. We're not into being destabilized. We want to work with your protectors so that, especially your managers, so that that you're not at all incapacitated. You know, we want to make sure that you can carry on with all the role responsibilities that each of you have and things like that. So, yeah. So thank you for sharing that with us. I'm grateful to your parts. And one of the things is that unless there's an invitation, we don't try to deconstruct or dissect another person's experience. We can certainly talk about our own experience of what they said, but we're really careful about not being intrusive into other people's, you know, when they do share something that's vulnerable, we don't go in and start making interpretations or giving advice or things like that. We're really respectful and we stay within our own systems unless there's some sort of specific permission that a person has for a question or something like that too. So
I have a question about signing up for the community. Is there like a commitment of time that you're going to be part of it?
So the general assumption is when people sign up that we're looking for them ideally to finish the entire course of 43 or 44 sessions over the course of a calendar year. What we do ask is that folks stay with it for at least 10 weeks, because it can be about 10 weeks before you settle into your company and you settle in with your companion. Obviously, if somebody feels like the RCC is not a good fit and they're really adamant about that, we're not going to try to force anything. But we do encourage folks. What we don't want is for folks to say, well, I want to try it for a couple of weeks, you know, or something like that, because that's hard on your companion. It's hard on the company if there's sort of just a casual attitude towards this, you know. And that's kind of the reason why it takes some effort to get into the RCC. You know, you have to do there's like multiple stages. You have to get your consent form signed. You have to pay. You have to go through your initial measures kit. You have to submit one form online and you have to scan another form and get it to us that way, or take pictures of it and get it to us that way. You have to go through the interview. So there's like a bunch of steps. And I actually find that actually is really helpful, because it tends to discourage, you know, folks that are overly ambivalent, you know, or whose parts aren't ready yet, you know. So that the folks that do come into the community have a pretty strong sense and there's enough agreement within their systems that it's a good fit for them, you know. So we are looking for that. Yeah. That's a great question, Susan. Thank you, because I forgot to mention that.
I had a question. I'm kind of coming late into this because I was coming from spiritual direction. So I feel like I was involved with my parts. I have been reading this book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. And I love the idea, but I just started a master's program and taking classes while working. So I love this, but I don't know if I'm going to have the time. So I think I would love to give it the old college try, but I got to discern whether I'm going to have the time. So that's my concern. I don't want to take somebody else's spot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We have 151 on the waiting list. I'm expecting that if historical trends are accurate, not that we have a super long history, but about roughly a third to 40% of folks on the waiting list may actually join. We do have a limit of 100. So if that's the case, there doesn't seem to be an upper limit right now. We probably won't take many more than 100, just because we want to keep it manageable for our staff. And we don't want to grow too rapidly. We want to keep the personal touch. You know, the big thing is the 75 minutes a week. That's the big thing. The rest of it, you can pretty much schedule when you want. As far as your check-ins, those are then there's the phone call, but that can be whenever you and your companion want to set that up. Most of this, all of this really is about you working with your parts. And one of the things that I find is that if that goes well, and you really do have a sense of harmony and a sense of integration with your parts, you wind up getting a lot of time back. You know, there can be a way that, you know, the way that parts duked it out or battled about things, you know, that took up a lot of time, there's ways that that comes back. Now, I have a little analogy with that. When my kids were really young, my two oldest were really young. I have 7 kids. We started this thing called Snippets. And Snippets was this, and I mentioned this, I think, on a podcast before, but Snippets are it's like 5 to 10 minutes of time that each child gets with each parent each night, right? So after supper, after the rosary, it's snippet time, and the child gets to pick pretty much whatever he or she wanted to do with mom, and then whatever within reason he or she wanted to do with dad. And what we found was that, you know, we thought, oh, especially as we get 3, 4, 5 kids, this could be a lot of time, right? But what we found was that the kids love the snippets, and that their behavior was so much better because they knew they were going to have individual one-on-one time with dad, and they knew they were going to have individual one-on-one time with mom. And it actually made my wife's life a lot easier because the kids were just much better behaved because things were better in our family system. So I think it's the same kind of thing with, now that's not why we did the snippets. It wasn't like a calculated decision to save time and be more efficient by spending time with your children, you know, but it was a side effect that we really noticed. And I think it's similar when we care for our own parts, you know, there's just a kind of peace that happens with that, a recollection on the natural level. And part of that is we become freer to be conduits, you know, to interact effectively with the world in the ways that we're called to. So, I don't want to say you're going to get all the time back. You know, like I'm, you know, going to include a 6 steak knife kit or something, you know, with the rest of what you get with RCC, but yeah, that is an experience that some people have. And if, you know, you're in grad school in one of the helping professions, it really does help you help others if your parts feel helped, you know? So I like that, but we do open registration every 6 months, June and December, right? So, you know, unlike the knife salesman, this isn't your last chance, you know. You know, there'll be other chances that come, you know, on that kind of schedule. So we never hard sell any of this. We never try to convince people. In fact, if people are ambivalent, I tell them not to apply. If they're really torn up about it, I say don't. They're often surprised, you know. It's like, yeah, because again, I want it to be right, you know. I want there to be enough of an initial kind of agreement among parts, you know, that this would be a good thing for your system. At least enough curiosity, enough willingness to check it out in a serious way. So,
okay, this is my last question, I promise. So I'm thinking about this program. And then I'm also thinking about the Stepping Stones program that I believe Derek is creating for the Catholic therapists in general, mm-hmm. which if my memory serves me well, is like 3 hours a week commitment. Mm-hmm. So besides prayer and discernment, I'm wondering what is... not the quicker way, but what's more like the effective way to go if I'm interested in doing my inner work?
So I would ask Jody Garneau about that. So what ECLAS is referring to is there is a sister organization that we have, a sister community, which is the interior therapist community for those that are therapists or those that are in graduate school to become therapists. There's a whole human formation program that I do for those therapists in the ITC. And that's what ECLAS is referring to, is a program that we have within the ITC. I would talk to Jody about it because she's in that program right now. And she might really be able to help you with that distinction. I actually don't know a lot about the Stepping Stones program, to be honest with you, ECLAS, because I've never done it. So. We know that we're kind of come, well, actually past time, but are there any other sort of questions about that folks have? Anything else that parts might want you to share for them or to speak for them before we end for tonight?
I don't know if this was already answered, but so once you fill out the questionnaire, all the forms and stuff, and you review it, was there an option for you guys to say you're not ready?
Yep. And sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that happens, but it's more of a joint discernment, right? It's more about, you know, it's not so much a, sometimes I think parts have a fear that it's sort of like some sort of gladiatorial thumbs up or thumbs down, right? It's not really so much like that. It's more like, here are some things that we think might be helpful to you to make a successful adjustment to the RCC. You know, we might say, we'd like you to continue in your therapy, for example, because there's a lot of distress because, you know, maybe a parent just died or, you know, there's difficulties in the, you know, in a relationship with a son or a daughter, or there's marital difficulties or who knows what, right? I mean, there could be all kinds of things that are going on. So we do some recommendations about what we think would help you to have the support you need to have a successful adjustment to the community and to be able to benefit from it. Once in a while, we will say no. And usually when that happens is because we're just seeing too much ambivalence in the system. You know, it's not usually because there's too much pathology, if you want to think about it that way. It's more like, you know, we're going to be looking at where our parts with, you know, with kind of making that jump, because it's a big deal for parts to join the RCC. There's a real sense that, hey, this is not just some, you know, little self-improvement program or something. This actually has some like legs to it. This could be a powerful thing, and are we okay with that? You know, so yeah.
Because I am a mom of five, two who were recently diagnosed with autism. My husband is going to school, and he's a teacher, and he's having to take a class. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in my household right now. I've also been working with Dr. Greg Vitaro with Catholic Mindfulness. So I was mentoring with him. So anyway, I feel like this is kind of the next step for me, but, you know, I'm still discerning if I felt like December was the right time. You know, that's where I felt called. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe January would be better. Who knows? But I just, so I know you said if you start, we don't want you to stop, but if it does, how often do people really go, well, this really is too much of a time commitment?
If that happens, we will work. Yeah, if that happens, we'll work with you and we'll work with your company. You know, we do rearrange things as folks need to. And to remember, like when you apply in December, There's going to be some time that it takes for everybody to get through those IMKs and for the results to be done, because it takes significant time for us to look at those results. You know, we're spending between an hour, that's on the very short end, to 2 hours to put those reports together, and then it's another, you know, 15 minutes to go through them with you. And then there's work that happens to match people into companion pairs. And there's a lot of scheduling that happens for those companies to come together. And so it will be sometime in February when we start the actual programming. So we need that month of December, because registration doesn't close till December 31st. So we need all of January to finish all of the IMKs, and you know, the first part of February to finish all those interviews. And then we need a couple of weeks, you know, we need a couple of weeks to get the scheduling, just everybody scheduled together to figure out who can meet in different companies. We help you with that. It's not like here, you eight people find a time. No, we do it differently. We bring in everybody so that we can facilitate all of that. Patty's got a lot of experience with that now. So, so that's something to think about, is that the time commitments aren't going to start until February with the, you know, with the companies and so forth. So,
I have one last question, and I'm just wondering if you can give us a little taste of just one story or some things of results that have come out for people that have been through this process.
So we are just actually starting with the June cohort. We had a lot of work to do to create the infrastructure, and my time estimates for getting that up and running were off. And so this week actually is the first week that the companies are coming together from that cohort. So so we're still kind of feeling our way with this. And I don't have a cohort that's gone through the entire program at all. We're just starting out. But the good thing for you guys is that we'll be changing things and adjusting things as this first cohort, you know, is up and running. So they will have been working for 2 or 3 months before your first meeting would happen in February. So, yeah. I do pay a lot of attention to what people's experiences of the podcast. And the Resilient Catholics community has been around for a year and a half. So we've done a number of things within the Resilient Catholics community. It opened in, I think it was May or June of 2020. But it wasn't nearly so systematic. So I'm drawing from those experiences about what was helpful when it wasn't quite so formalized. We're pulling some of the best things that happened out of those experiences for the folks that were with us, kind of from the beginning. So, but very open to feedback, you know, and we're going to be paying attention to what's most helpful. One of the things that surprised me was how much the original folks in the RCC really wanted the experiential exercises. They really wanted that kind of work as opposed to the conceptual and then kind of doing the experiential stuff on their own. That's where the community stuff, I think, is really helpful, is in creating the frame for experiences, and not just experiences that one has on one's own, but experiences actually in community, which was why we came up with the concept of the companies. So, is that helpful, Susan?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for being here tonight, and let folks know that you're welcome to get in touch with me, especially during my conversation hours. My cell phone is 317-567-9594. You'll hear that in any podcast episode too as well. So you're always welcome to get in touch with me if you have questions or need some assistance with discernment. Appreciate you all taking that discernment seriously about joining the RCC. And Patty is also available. Her email is admin@soulsandhearts.com. My email is crisis@soulsandhearts.com. So you can reach us by email as well. Thank you for being here, and I'll keep you in my prayers. And I do ask that you pray for me and for the rest of the staff, Patty and Pan Soren and Elizabeth. This whole endeavor in the RCC runs on prayer. And part of my job is to be really humble enough and small enough and childlike enough and trusting enough to be receptive and responsive to the touches of God on this. So that's part of what I'm working on with my parts, to be able for this to be what God wants it to be for each one of you. So pray for me, especially for that intention, I'll ask you. Okay. Right. Well, thank you. And God bless you all. And look forward to connecting with you. Registration opens tomorrow. You'll get an email tomorrow for registration. And within a week, we could be, going through IMKs and so forth for those of you that are on board. So, okay. All right. God bless.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. Okay.